We have seen that taxpayers receive tax relief for donations to UK registered charities. There are two methods of obtaining tax relief on charitable donations. The first we have already seen, which is via the gift aid scheme.
You will remember that gift aid payments are made net of basic rate tax, and we give higher and additional rate relief by extending the basic and higher rate bands by the gross amount of the donation.
The second way in which a taxpayer can get relief on a donation to charity is by using the payroll deduction scheme. You may also see this referred to as the Give As You Earn, or GAYE, scheme. Here, donations are made gross, i.e. there is no withholding of basic rate tax at source, and this gross donation is deducted from taxable earnings for the year, with the taxpayer paying tax on the balance. In practice, the gross donation is deducted by the payroll department before PAYE is applied, thereby giving the employee tax relief as he goes along. The employer will then pass on the amounts withheld to the relevant charity.
Special rules apply in respect of entertaining expenses. Before we can apply the normal test under Section 336 ITEPA 2003, we need to establish whether Section 356 ITEPA 2003 prevents the employee obtaining a deduction in the first instance. Relief for expenses incurred in connection with entertainment are not allowed by virtue of Section 356 unless the expense has been paid or reimbursed by the employer and has been disallowed in arriving at the employer's taxable profit. Client entertaining is not an allowable deduction for the employer. In this case, relief will be available for the employee, provided that he or she is required for genuine business reasons to entertain clients in the course of performing the duties of the employment. In other words, the expense meets the wholly, exclusively, and necessarily test. Relief for entertaining colleagues is not prevented under Section 356, unless it is incidental to the entertainment of others, such as clients. However, the expense of entertaining other employees of the same company is unlikely to have been incurred wholly, exclusively, and necessarily in the performance of the duties, and therefore relief will not be available.
This is the theory of expenses. We will now have a look at how we deal with expenses in the income tax computation, starting with expenses reimbursed. Most business expenses incurred by employees will be reimbursed by their employers at a later date, when the employee makes an expense claim. It will be allowable if it is either wholly, exclusively, and necessarily incurred in the performance of the duties, or if it is a qualifying travelling expense, or it is a professional subscription. In these cases, the expense can be deducted from taxable earnings to arrive at net taxable earnings. As far as the tax computation is concerned, we need to do two things. The first is to treat the expenses reimbursed by the employer to the employee as taxable income from the employment. As such, the amount reimbursed should be reflected by the employer as a benefit in kind on the employee's P11D.
So, having treated the reimbursed expense as income, we can then make a claim to deduct the expense in order to arrive at net taxable earnings.
In the case of genuine business expenses, the amount which goes into the computation as income and the amount that is deducted as an allowable expense will cancel out, leaving nothing taxable. This will not be the case, however, if the expense is not wholly, exclusively, and necessarily incurred in the performance of the duties.
In this case, no deduction will be allowed for the expense, and the amount reimbursed by the employer will be subject to tax. This will be the case if personal expenses are paid or reimbursed by the employer.
If you work in an employment environment in practice, you will come across dispensations. These are also called notices of nil liability. A dispensation is a notice provided by the revenue to an employer, agreeing that no additional tax will be payable by an employee who receives certain payments or benefits. The payments in question will be genuine business expenses reimbursed by the employer to the employee.
In the absence of a dispensation, business expenses reimbursed to an employee will be entered on Form P11D.
The employee will then be left to claim relief for the expense via his self-assessment return. If an employer makes an application for dispensation, this unnecessary paper chase can be avoided. So, by way of an example, here we have an employee called Chris. Chris makes a business trip to Edinburgh, and his return train ticket costs £75. When he returns to the office, he makes an expense claim, and his employer, Online Tutors Limited, reimburse this £75. This is normal, everyday practice.
Chris is employed on a salary of £25,000. And strictly, what should happen in this instance is that the employer should produce a Form P11D for Chris, including this £75 as a benefit in kind.
Chris's taxable earnings for the year will now be £25,075. As far as Chris is concerned, the £75 is a qualifying travelling expense and is therefore deductible. He will make a claim under Section 337 on his tax return, and the £75 will be deducted, leaving Chris with net taxable earnings of £25,000. This is exactly the same as the salary figure, so you will see that the two entries of £75 have cancelled each other out. So what we have achieved here is to create a lot of paperwork with no end result. The company has had to prepare a Form P11D to show a benefit of £75, and Chris has had to prepare a tax return to claim this amount as an allowable expense. Even the revenue appreciate that this seems a waste of time. So in these circumstances, they will issue dispensation to the employer in respect of the business travelling expenses. This means that the employer here can ignore these travel expenses when preparing P11Ds. Employers must apply to their local tax office for dispensations, and dispensations are issued by the inspector in respect of specific categories of expenditure, business travel being by far the most common. Note that if an employer does not have a dispensation for a particular type of expense, such expenses reimbursed to employees must be reflected on the P11D, and the employee will then make a claim via his tax return if he thinks the expense is deductible. Finally, in this session, we will look at round sum allowances. A round sum allowance is a general allowance, usually a fixed amount of cash paid to the employee in advance to cover his or her expenses for a particular period. Here, an employer, Online Tutors, is paying a round sum of £1,000 to Chris to cover forthcoming expenses. A round sum allowance should be treated in the first instance as salary, and the employer should withhold tax under PAYE. This will normally happen automatically, as the payment is often made via the payroll system. There is no way around this, as the revenue will not issue a dispensation unless it is in respect of a specific category of business expenses. They will not issue dispensations for round sum allowances. Chris will spend the money on various items and will claim a deduction via his end-of-year tax return for any amounts spent for business purposes, i.e. any expenses incurred wholly, exclusively and necessarily in the performance of his duties.
However, if Chris spends part of his round sum allowance on client entertaining, he will not be allowed to claim a deduction, as the expense will not have been disallowed in arriving at the employer's taxable profits. If the allowance is a specific entertaining allowance, it will be disallowed for the employer, and therefore the employee can claim a deduction. The allowance will be reported on the employee's P11D.
Look at the following categories of expenditure and click on the ones which you think are allowable expenses for employment income purposes. Once you are happy with your choices, click the button at the bottom of the page. We need to decide which of Mr. Broker's expenses are allowable deductions. His tube fares to work are not allowable, as they are normal costs of commuting. Remember that home-to-office travel is not a qualifying travel expense. the taxi fare to his client will be deductible, as it is a bona fide business travel expense. Employee contributions to occupational pension schemes are deductible expenses. However, Mr. Broker's newspaper costs will not be allowed by the revenue. Mr. Broker would argue that, as a stockbroker, it is necessary for him to read the Financial Times on a daily basis. But a similar case has already been heard and rejected by the courts. In the case of Smith versus Abbott, a journalist for a national daily newspaper argued that it was necessary for him to buy and read the daily newspapers of his competitors in order to do his job. The courts agreed with the revenue and disallowed this expense, as it was held not to be absolutely necessary, as it was possible for this journalist to do his job without incurring that expense. The courts said that the expenditure simply enabled the employee to do his job better, and this was not enough to pass the stringent tests laid down in Section 336. The subscription to the Institute of Stockbrokers will qualify as a genuine professional subscription and will be deductible. However, the cost of Mr. Broker's pinstripe suit and braces will not be allowed. The revenue have again been successful before the courts in arguing that the costs of suits, etc., are not allowable on the grounds that the expense is not exclusively for the performance of his duties. The courts have said that we buy clothing not just for business purposes, but also to provide us with warmth and decency, and hence the expense has a duality of purpose and is not allowable. Deductions will only be allowable for such things as protective clothing or costumes or uniforms, i.e. clothing which could not be worn in an everyday context. This concludes this module on expenses of employment.